Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we explore a working solution to a big problem for many of our farm families in north central Wisconsin: how to access affordable health care. I'm Glenn Moberg. Owning a farm is hard work. There are long hours and daily obligations that make it difficult, if not impossible, to schedule regular visits with doctors and urban clinics and hospitals. The work is dangerous, and many farmers are self-insured with expensive, high-deductible policies that don't cover the little things that can lead to big things and serious health problems. There is a program that has been helping to fill this gap for the past 10 years, the Rural Health Initiative, which started in Shawano County, then expanded last year to Wapaka and Outagamie counties, and which may even expand into Marathon County. Since farmers can't get to the clinics, the Rural Health Initiative brings the clinics to them, scheduling health care screenings and checkups right in farm family homes. Our guest today is Rural Health Initiative Executive Director Rhonda Strabel, and also two people who can speak directly to the challenges faced by farm families, Eric and Misty Vogel, who own a farm in Marathon County in the town of Hamburg. As always, we'd like to hear from you if you have questions or comments. If you work in the agriculture business, or you know somebody who does and who has had problems accessing health care, if you've got thoughts about what can be done to make health care more affordable and more reliable and available for all of us, our lines are open, toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And the phone lines are wide open right now. If you want to call us early in the show, you can get right in. Rhonda, let's start with you. Why don't you tell us about the Rural Health Initiative?
Well, thanks, Glenn. The Rural Health Initiative started because we gathered a group of people together and discussed what's going on with farm families and why we're missing them in health care. And there were two big issues that came up. One is their cost. Being self-insured, self-employed, and living and working on the farm will give you a high premium. They don't cost share with an employer, and so they're covering the 100% of the cost. So to make it affordable, what they'll do is they'll carry a higher deductible. And I'm talking a high deductible like maybe even $10,000 per person. So what happens is
well, essentially, for most people, for most years, that means all of their medical care is out of pocket.
Absolutely. It's all out of pocket. Yes. That, if you think about if they're paying, say, $1,500 to $1,700 a month for a premium, which some of my couples that I see that are in their age 50, that's over $20,000 a year that they're paying for their premiums. So that's with a $10,000 deductible. What are the chances are that they're going to need $10,000 worth of care that year? And so what they're not doing is going in for that regular preventative care, because they would have to pay for it if they went, because they're not going to reach their deductible. So often that's a barrier that just says, why would I go in? I think I feel fine. I don't think anything's wrong. If it's not broken, why mess with
yeah.
it? So it's sort of that mentality. But there's the second piece of it when we started really talking to the farm families, and we really understood that it's a different culture, that farming is a way of life that they've chosen to go into, and it's the basis is work hard, to get it done, work hard. And they kind of stick to themselves. They stick to the farm. They're out into the rural areas, and they don't see a lot of people throughout a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so very often they're disconnected from services or even thinking about what they might need or what services might be available to them. And so as we started talking, it was the farm wives that helped us come up with the idea of what can we do about this, because we were seeing way too many people coming in with the big things through the emergency room. And we thought, boy, if we could have just have seen them a few years earlier and detected this, this wouldn't have been so costly for them. And not just financial costs, but the loss of time on their farm and the loss of production that it causes.
Right. If you're not healthy, you can't do the kind
yeah.
of hard work that you have to do to run a farm.
Exactly. So your production goes down over time, but sometimes you don't realize it because you don't have anything to compare it to, because you're out there alone doing it. But when they actually have that big health issue happen, whatever that may be, a stroke or a heart attack or something with diabetes, by the time you finally have that big incident that brings you in through the emergency room, that's going to really set you back. And who's going to do their work? If you're the sole proprietor and you're the owner that has a big issue happen, what's going to happen. Your production has really gone down at this point. And it doesn't mean that the cows don't, you know, they're going to wait for you. I mean, they still need to be milked. And this isn't just about dairy farmers. This is all farmers. It's the beef farmers. It's the people that, you know, have cranberries and sunflowers. And, I mean, all different kinds of agriculture is what we have in Wisconsin. You know, it's a wide variety. But so we said, what can we do? And it was the farm wives that said, you know, if you want to see our spouses, our husbands, you need to come to the farm because that's where they are. And we started talking about it. And if you really think about what their delivery model is for a farm family, everything comes to the farm. The milkman comes out, the vet comes out, the feed, the fuel, the seed, everything gets delivered to the farm. And so why are we thinking that, you know, and that's where they're at. That's where the farmers are. They spend the majority of their time at their work, at home. And why would we expect them to come in when they don't think anything is wrong?
You know, this goes against so much of the grain of modern culture right now, where doctors expect you to come to them. When I was a kid many, many decades ago, I remember it wasn't uncommon for doctors to make house calls, routine house calls. That doesn't happen anymore, except for your program.
Right, right. And if you think about, you're right, that, you know, doctors used to go out and make house calls. And actually, if you think about public health, that was the basis of their model back, you know, quite a few years ago. But it was the nurses that went out to homes and to, you know, to farms, and it was rural and urban. But that was the basis of public health. And over the years, you know, with budget cuts and thinking that, you know, we need to have these buildings and be able to do more things, you know, and certainly, you know, there's reasons to go to the hospitals or the clinics because they can do more diagnostic tests. I mean, they have, if you need an X-ray done, certainly you have to go in. That even, you know, a doctor can't come out and do that type of, they can, you know, with technology, who knows, in years to come, you know, they may be able to, you know, rub some type of equipment over your leg and maybe, you know, be able to tell you that there's a break in there. But for a lot of the preventative types of things that we're looking for, like, you know, blood pressure, cholesterol, glucose, and doing simple blood draws, we can do that type of thing at a kitchen table or in somebody's, you know, wherever their home is. We can do that on site, and we don't need them to come in to do that.
Well, Eric and Misty, as farmers, does this ring true that you're often too busy, or the people you know who are farmers are too busy to go to traditional medical clinics or hospitals for these checkups?
I would say that it is, for sure. I mean, we don't... We can think that we have some control over our day, but we really don't. We can schedule everything, but this morning was a perfect example. I mean, we had some vaccinations that were very time sensitive that we had to give, so we were a little late getting in here.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
But it's more than the scheduling aspect. We work in a different environment than is probably stereotypical of today's society, and so we smell different. You know, beef, hogs, cattle, we all smell different. Even a grain farmer, we've got a dusty, it's just a different environment that we're in. So there's extra time that's involved there. Yeah. If we don't get a chance to shower before we come into town, perhaps it's offensive to some people. It's never meant to be that, but it's a time constraint. So it takes us an extra half an hour to travel another half an hour to have a 15-minute appointment. So
which you have to wait an hour for in the waiting room.
Right, right, right. You know, so it just, all those things play into that. So the delivery model is, like Rhonda mentioned, it's a huge aspect that it doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just that's the way that it is with us. And a lot of people don't think, you know, a lot of people get out of work and they'll run here or they'll run there. Well, for us, it's just not as easy as just jumping in the car.
Well, Eric, tell us about the farm you have in the town of Hamburg.
Well, we milk about 60 cows in Hamburg, and we farm 475 acres. So there's always plenty to do between, you know, taking care of the animals. And, you know, fortunately, we don't have to milk cows because we have a robotic milker. But, you know, we're still in the barn two, three hours in the morning and again at night and checking on cows. You still got to feed them and clean them. And
well, that's a lot of work, and the cows don't go away, do they? I mean, they need constant attention.
That's right. They're always looking for a bite to eat, and they love their fresh feed.
Yeah, you guys ever go on vacations?
Not usually.
We're fortunate because our families are not close to us. We're 150 and 1,200 miles away from our families. So we have a farmer down the road that actually will watch over our herd if we choose to leave for a day or two. But that's, we're just extremely fortunate in that aspect. He's got his own cows to take care of.
You got kids?
Two boys, ages 10 and 7.
And what are their names?
AJ and Philip.
AJ and Philip. And what kind of health care coverage do you have for your family and for them?
Well, we provide our own health care, obviously, and we do carry a $10,000 deductible in order to have those cheaper monthly premiums. And so you're not necessarily scared to go to the doctor, but you try to avoid it at all costs.
Well, farming is, you know, it's a labor-intensive business, and it's becoming increasingly capital-intensive with the milking machines and everything. It's an expensive venture, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How much do, if you don't mind asking a personal question, how much does your health insurance cost you?
It's a $9,000 premium every year.
$9,000 a year with a $10,000 deductible?
Correct.
Well, and that's a family. That's a 2,500 individual $10,000 family cap. And we're allowed, we do have coverage for our preventative checkups, but that also counts as one of our office visits. We get three office visits a year. So the kids aren't going if their ears are hurting. If their ears are bleeding, I will take them. Otherwise, they got to suck it up and tough it out.
How can you afford that? I mean, how can any farmers, family farmers, afford that? It's, you know, it's not that lucrative a business.
No, and there's quite a few farmers that we know that don't have health insurance. And, you know, you just kind of plan around it, hopefully.
Right. But, and this is a young couple, a young, healthy couple. You know, the Vogels that we're speaking with today are, you know, 30s?
Mid-30s.
So, and boy, the two of you look healthy to me, you know.
Well,
you sure get enough exercise.
You know, and they're talking a $9,000 premium, which is enough the way it is. But, I mean, now put that as you age, you know, put that at a 55-year-old or a 60-year-old, like the last 5 years of health care between 60 and 65, that's really tough to be able to pay for that those premiums, because they're going to be substantially more. You know, it'll be just the two of them and not having the children on there. But still, as you age, our bodies become more worn out, and we do need more services. But they also know that, and so our insurance costs will increase dramatically by the time they get into their 50s and 60s. And so think again, you know, that's why I gave that example of a perfect example is a couple I have in Tigerton, Wisconsin. It's just the two of them now. They're 55 years old, and they pay $1,700 a month. Mm-hmm. And if you figure that out, that is just a little bit over, or just shy of
$20,000 a year just for the premium.
Yeah, just for the premium. You know, and so even now, for this young couple who have children, $9,000 a year for health insurance, but with that large deductible again, and again the lifestyle, why would they go in? And she talked about one of the barriers, you know, and the barrier of taking that time. Like, you know, for me, I work in an office. I'm all cleaned up. You know, I got ready for work this morning. So if I need to run over to the clinic, you know, I can just run over there and be back at work, you know, within a relatively short amount of time. I've lost a short amount of production. For them, they live out. They, you know, they have to drive into town, which could be, you know, half hour or more.
Yeah, we're close, fortunately. We only have a 15 or 20-minute drive, but, you know,
sure.
The area, it's a half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah, and then, you know, they also have to, you know.
If you live midway between, say, Marshfield and Wausau, it's a long trek to get in.
That's right.
It's a long trek, yeah. And like, you know, what Misty talked about, how, you know, they have to get cleaned up and come into town. They're not going to come in their work clothes. You know, they're going to go in and take the time, whereas when we take the services out to the farm, you know, we're meeting them at their home. So we know that. We know what their occupation is, and all of our staff, our nurses. I grew up on a dairy farm, so I know exactly what it's like. I mean, you know, we walked around with our, you know, we'd come in our barn clothes and drop them in the basement and, you know, often just be walking around the house and whatever. That's, you know,
yeah,
shorts and a T-shirt. But we still smelled of the barn because we were going to go back out there. So, but for them to come in, it's, you know, you really have to get, you know, changed and you know.
Tell us about these kitchen checkups. So the farmers, for one reason or another, have difficulty getting to clinics and hospitals in urban areas, so you bring the clinics to them. Tell us about that.
So what we do, and we call it kitchen wellness. It's sort of our tagline of what we do, because it's amazing what happens when you sit down at a kitchen table and talk about health. There's something magical that happens. But what we do is we call ahead. It's the farmers that have invited us, you know, because people say, well, do you just drive in and say, I want to take your blood pressure? No, we don't. They know that we're coming. We ask them to fast. they have a 12-hour fast so that they know that we're coming that morning. So when we come in the morning, we set that appointment up around their schedule. Maybe they want to do it before they go out in the morning. Maybe they want our nurses to come at 5 a.m. before they go out and milk. Maybe they want us to come in between chores where they come in 8, 9 o'clock, and they're going to come in for a little bit before they go back out and do some more. So we set up an appointment according to their schedule, and we have them fill out a questionnaire, which is a basic health risk assessment. It just asks them questions about themselves and about their lifestyle. And then from there, when my nurse comes, she'll do a simple blood draw. She'll do through a finger stick, and she'll collect a blood sample and put it in a portable machine that we just plug into any outlet. And when we get those results, we get them within 10 minutes, and it's their total cholesterol, their LDL, which is, people call it the bad cholesterol, the HDL, which is a good cholesterol, triglycerides, a ratio of the good and the total and the good. And we're also checking their glucose. So within a short amount of time, while we're waiting for the blood to process, we can take their height and weight, we can take their blood pressure, and within 15 minutes, we can tell them some really important information. The numbers that every person should know. Every person should know what their blood pressure is. They should know what normal is and where they're standing. They should know what their lipid panel is as far as their cholesterol levels. And they should know what their glucose levels is. That's for diabetes, so make sure they're not diabetic. And these are numbers that all people should know about their own personal health at any age. And so that's what the first thing is becoming aware. Because if you don't know, how do you know if you need to work on it? And so once we have those results, then we sit down with them in their questionnaire and we say, okay, this is what a normal level is, and this is what your level is. Mm-hmm. It's just, not right or wrong, bad or good. This is what it is. It's, very non-threatening of, just so you know, this is where your number should be. And that way you can have that conversation right away of, this is one of the things that I think many people have been frustrated with over the years is they go into a doctor's office, you have your test results, and they send them to you, and you get them in the mail, and you look at them, and you think, well, I don't know what any of this means. So now when, we have the opportunity to sit down with them and explain, this is what yours is, this is what normal is, and this is what you can do about it. And so that's that discussion of, okay, what can I do about it? So do I need to change my diet? Do I need to change, do I need to do some exercise? Do I need to lose some weight? What is it that I can do on my own? Unless we find something that's really serious,
right,
then, of course, we're going to refer them into a provider and help them find a provider.
Now, they still have the problem with insurance and paying for these checkups. Do you charge for these kitchen care visits?
We do not. There is no charge. We don't ask them to qualify for anything as far as being a sliding fee or fitting into a certain financial range because, we're trying to be inclusive, not exclusive. So as long as they can contribute to agriculture in any form, it could be the farm owner and their family, their adult family members. It can be their employees. It can be, anyone that contributes to agriculture. It could be a milkman. It could be, somebody that owns their own business that contributes to agriculture. As long as they contribute to agriculture and we don't ask by how much, if they're part-time or full-time or retired from agriculture. I never say they truly retire anyway. But, as long as they still are involved in agriculture, we will come out to their farm.
You don't charge. Do you consider this to be a welfare program?
Absolutely not. No, I view this as a way to give back to people that are feeding this country. They are really hard workers, and they don't have those opportunities that the rest of us have with job sharing with employers or other businesses. I absolutely do not think this is a handout. And if they want to contribute, they can. We're a nonprofit organization, and we just don't ask for anything. But if they want to contribute, they certainly can.
How do you get your funding for the Rural Health Initiative? Who pays for it?
This is a community-supported program. And so whichever community we're in, so you talked about at the beginning of the show that we started in Shawano County. So in Shawano County is where we started, and it is not a county program, it is not a government program, it is not a federally or granted program. Again, it's community supported and community funded. And so the funding comes from organizations that care about that community and care about their farmers. So people like our healthcare systems, our hospitals, our agribusinesses. These are agribusinesses have a stake in this because wouldn't you want a healthy customer?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
what role did ThetaCare play in this?
ThetaCare was one of the leaders when we started in Shawano County. That happens to be one of the largest providers in that northeast Wisconsin area, and particularly in Shawano. They were the ones that said, absolutely, we see this as exactly the type of model that fits within our mission to help serve families outside our walls of our hospitals and clinics, is what they see.
So ThetaCare doctors charge for visits, right?
They do charge for visits.
And here you're providing free checkups. What's in it for them?
Well, you know, the mission of healthcare organizations is to have everybody healthy in their communities. And so, however that happens, and so this is a way that they contribute to us so that we can go out and do those services. But also, I guess you could say, what if we find something serious with someone? Those are customers that we need to get into the clinic. And we can only do the first, you know, the preventative health screenings and do some health coaching with them. But if we really find something serious out there, which we do, they need to help find a healthcare provider. And often they don't. This is the number one referral that we end up finding that they need is they just don't know who to go to. The last time that they may have been in is, you know, somebody that either is not accepting patients or has retired or, you know, just they can't get in for a month or two. And all of a sudden they decided they're going to come. Well, who do they go to? So we can help them remove some of those barriers of, well, who's accepting patients? ThetaCare, for instance, has 16 providers at the clinic in Shawano, and there are only four that are accepting patients. So if Misty was going to call in and say, I want to see, you know, Dr. Qualheim, and they say, no, Dr. Qualheim isn't accepting patients, well, what happened now is she's hit a barrier. She's hit a barrier, and she goes, oh, I can't see her. Well, you know, well, who do I see? And what, you know,
so we can help navigate through those systems. So that makes sense for the medical care providers. And I know that they care about the overall health of the community. But in terms of dollars and cents, they're also getting people into their clinics who have serious problems that might not be diagnosed. You're also preventing people, isn't this true, from making these emergency room visits that are so expensive.
Absolutely.
And that often end up being passed on to other people through higher insurance premiums and through higher hospital rates.
Absolutely. If we can keep them out of the emergency room, all the better. I mean, for their needs, you know, as a farm family, but also, you know, for hospitals and clinics also. I mean, they would rather get them upstream rather than downstream. So if they can catch them at a much sooner time frame also, they would rather see a healthier patient than a real severe patient.
Misty, I saw you nodding in agreement while this was being talked about.
There's all kinds of things that kind of go through your mind. I mean, as a not knowing, you talk about the barriers, and those are huge. Just like when we want to find something, anybody, not just an agriculturalist, but anybody in society wants to find somewhere to go for a product, you don't want to just flip through the yellow pages and pick out the ad that you think looks the best. And having somebody come in and sit in your kitchen, you're a little bit more likely to open up about things, perhaps, than you would be going into a, like if I took one of my boys in for a health checkup before school started or whatnot. You know, I'd forget half the stuff that I wanted to ask anyway, but you're in a more
relaxed atmosphere.
Correct. And you're just, who do we talk with? We talk with our friends, our neighbors, our family, and our relatives. And this just adds to that circle of people who care about you. And I mean, it just, from a social aspect, it's so much more comforting to think about that.
Eric, this service isn't available where you live right now in Marathon County. Do you wish it was?
I can't wait for it to be.
How do you find out about it?
That's a good question. Through our involvement in the community, more or less.
We got a letter from the UW Extension, our dairy agent, when they were just starting to put out feelers, and we thought, well, that's really interesting. Because, you know, everything, there are so many questions about healthcare, and it doesn't matter what industry you're involved in. I mean, just because we're in agriculture doesn't make us any better or worse than anybody else. You know, it's just our demographics are a little bit different, and we have different obstacles. And we're just extremely fortunate that there are people that care enough and are passionate because of previous involvement or for whatever reason that want to try and help us.
Misty and Eric Vogel, two farmers from the town of Hamburg in Marathon County. Also Rhonda Strabel, she's the executive director of the Rural Health Initiative. This is a program that brings medical care and medical checkups to the farmers, to farm families in Shawnee, Outagamie, and Waupaca counties. There is an effort to extend the program to Marathon County. We're going to talk about that when we come back. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. If you'd like to join the conversation, our lines are open at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We also invite you to leave comments for us on the Route 51 Facebook page.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling. The voice was chanting and the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Peninsula Players, Ganchert Nursery, and Marshfield Clinic, proud supporters of WPR programs. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at WPR.org/sponsor.
Support also comes from Wausau's Woodson Art Museum, welcoming the return of birds in art. See 125 all-new birds in art works now through November 10th, along with five exhibitions from the museum's collection. More at lywam.org.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We're talking about health care for farm families, specifically the Rural Health Initiative, a program that started in Shawnee County, expanded to Outagamie and Waupaca counties, and now they are in negotiations to try to get it established in Marathon County. It may grow further. Essentially, it brings health care from the clinics right to farm family kitchens. We're also talking about the high cost of insurance for farm families, the dangers of the work. Rhonda Strabel of the Rural Health Initiative is with us, along with two Marathon County farmers, Eric and Misty Vogel. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can leave a message on our Route 51 Facebook page. Matt has sent us a Facebook message, and I'm just going to read it for you. Access to affordable health care, he says, is a problem across the gamut of professions, from farmers to bankers. Every other industrialized nation has some manner of universal health care. It's time, he says, we follow the lead of countries that have put these financial burdens and worries behind them. Well, that's a political question. I don't know who's comfortable taking it, but I'll just open it up to the three of you.
Yeah. Well, Misty and I were just talking. She said, are you prepared for, you know, the changes with the Affordability Act, which, you know, many people call Obamacare? And, you know, I said, you know, I'm getting a little nervous. I said, you know, the clock is ticking as far as when it starts. And I said, there's so many things unknown at this point. And we've been trying to go to a lot of meetings and seminars, and everything that we're hearing is, you know, we're not sure yet. You know, what it's looking at, it's going to go this way. And there are a lot of unknowns for such a short amount of period of time of before it rolls out. And so it's yet to be unseen as far as how this will work and, you know, who it'll benefit and who it won't. Most of the meetings that are out there are for businesses with 50 or more employees. That certainly is a little bit more established that those larger businesses know. But how is it going to impact us as far as individual owners, smaller businesses? How will this affect us is yet to be unseen. And, you know, this is new territory, and certainly there are going to be some good things, and there are going to be not so good things.
Well hopefully, if there are not good things, you fix it. I mean, that's what you
exactly.
do in a democracy.
Well, exactly.
Well, Misty, what do you think? The idea of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, are these insurance exchanges in which you have a lot of insurance companies competing for your business and competing for the business of a lot of individual providers. Hopefully, that'll bring the costs down.
You would definitely hope so. I suppose it, and this is just my opinion, and it's not necessarily the most educated opinion by any means, but it is mine. it depends, I think, on the spectrum, where you fall on that spectrum. You know, if you're a family that doesn't have a lot of, you know, issues, are we going to have to pay more to stabilize that premium aspect out? I don't know. I mean, that's and from a self-employed perspective, nobody likes to feel threatened that their control is being taken away. And control is, it's all smoke and mirrors because none of us have any control anyway, but we think we do, you know. And perhaps that's not even a tangible concern, but I, from my standpoint, that is something that I does concern me.
Eric, how do other farmers feel about the individual mandate, the idea that everyone has to have health insurance? I mean, you can understand theoretically why it needs to be done to keep people out of emergency rooms and to keep costs low. But you're relatively young and healthy. You've already got health insurance, but you say you know farmers who don't have it.
Yeah, and, you know, the farmers who don't have it would probably prefer not to have it, but, you know, everybody wants affordable health care. You know, Misty and I have been fortunate enough to be on both sides of the coin in this
both
matter.
Both sides of the corn.
But, you know, we both had real jobs in town before where we had company-provided health insurance, and a lot of that program was all based on preventative care. I mean, you paid maybe $100 or $200 a month out of your check, which is pennies compared to what Misty and I have to pay now, being our own self-employed providers. So, you know, I understand the whole idea of affordable health care. It's a good thing.
Well, we'll see how things work out, won't we? And, you know, every other industrialized nation in the world has it. And we're moving in that direction. We'll have to see what happens. You know, a lot of these changes take place at the start of the next month.
Well, and I'll say, Glenn, that I've been asked numerous times that, you know, well, what will change now to the Rural Health Initiative, you know, with the Affordability Act? Preventative care should be included. I mean, that's one of the good things that is coming out of this, out of these changes, is that affordable or prevention is going to be paid for so that everyone can go in and have those services. But again, with the Rural Health Initiative, there's two situations here. There's the cost, so that is one barrier, and it's a large barrier. Farmers are quite resilient, and they somehow figure it out, and they somehow work through the cost. Although, you know, wouldn't we all like to have more profit than and not having to pay as much out? But the second part again is that culture, and you know, they're so busy doing what they're doing that often they just don't take the time to go in and take care of some of those things. And you know how quickly time goes. You think, like, oh, I think I've just been in, like, you know, just recently, and it's been 10 years, you know. So, you know, we often, you know.
Well, I bet time goes real fast. If you've got a family farm, there's got to always be something to do.
Every day, time goes faster and faster. It seems like when you get older, time goes faster. I think everybody can relate to that.
Yeah.
Well, You expanded to Outagamie and Wapaka counties last year. Why those two counties?
Because those two counties came to us. I mean, when we started in Shawnee County, I mean, we weren't envisioning going beyond Shawnee County. And when I say Shawnee County, just geographically, that, you know, again, we're not a county-supported program, but geographically, we're just thinking that was about the territory one person had the capacity to do. But as far as when Outagamie and Wapaka counties came to us, It was for the reason that people are people. When I say who are those people? People in healthcare, people in public health. A county is looking now at their county health rankings, and each county in Wisconsin has a health ranking that they base us on a lot of different measurements. But those measurements tell you, as a county, how healthy is are your citizens, and. We started, as people start having these discussions, they start discussing, you know, what their health issues are, and how. And I keep asking the question, how can you look at the health of your county without looking at the whole county? Often we look at the bigger cities that we have, whether it's in Marathon County, if you would look at Wausau and Marathon. Well, that's just part of the county. What about the whole rural landscape that often we forget about? And because this is a population of people, the rural and especially farm families, that don't really, you know, stand up and give a voice or really are in the discussions because they're busy working, often they're forgotten about. And, you know, in Wisconsin, we kind of romanticize about being the egg state, you know, the
right.
We're the biggest dairy producers, and, you know, and we
cows,
love our and we love
cheese,
our cheese. And, well, and when we drive,
heads,
you know, yeah. And when you drive, you know, we have our, you know, our roads, and we look out and we see the rolling hills and the beautiful red barns and the cows walking in the pastures. We just love that. This is part of Wisconsin we love. But we often forget that there are people there. And those people are working hard, and they're very quiet. They're spending so much of their time just working that they really don't speak up often. And so they're forgotten.
So you've got a problem that's taking care of the forgotten people in Shawano, Outagamie, and Waupaca
exactly.
counties. Now, all three of those counties have ThetaCare as a major health provider, correct?
They do. And so that expansion was quite easy in those three counties.
But Marathon County does not.
No, Marathon County does not have a ThetaCare. And so that's where we're at. We know that there's a need in Marathon County. We know that there are some really passionate people. I've been coming to Marathon County and meeting with a group of people, and I call them an advisory group. I've been meeting with an advisory group of people in Marathon County for probably 8 months. And, you know, we have really discussed this, and is this something that Marathon County wants and needs, and is there a need, and could we help with this?
But you're starting from scratch here.
But we're starting from scratch, because all of our funders that have funded us in Shawano, Outagamie, and Waupaca County are in a little bit different of a service area. And we're only one county to the west, but it has different health care systems.
And it's a big county.
It's the largest county, as you know.
Are you talking to the folks at Aspirus, the Marshfield Clinic, and Ministry Healthcare, the big three here?
We sure hope to. We've been talking with some people that have been trying to gather the three health care systems together and trying to talk to them all at once and to be able to share the message that we want all of them involved. We're not working for any one healthcare system. We're not working for a healthcare system, but we want to be in partnership with the healthcare systems, and we want that opportunity to be available to all of them. And so, because there are, you know, there's competition between healthcare systems, we want to stay very neutral and make sure that we're inviting them all in at once. But that's really what we're waiting for. That we believe that if we get the support of the healthcare systems, which in the other counties is about half of our budget is supported by the healthcare systems. The other half again is agribusinesses, family foundations, individuals, and we've had a lot of talks with them, and they're involved. They are involved.
The businesses are involved, but
yes,
the healthcare providers
have not yet.
You got three of them, and you know there's competition involved.
Yes,
there.
It's
sometimes
a little challenging.
Sometimes you're told what hospital you can go to or can't go to according to your insurance policy, what doctors you can see, and there are walls that a lot of us feel shouldn't be there between the individual providers.
Sure, and I'm looking at it from, you know, an outsider, because again, I'm you know, coming from Shawano County, and I'm used to, you know, how ThetaCare, and actually they work with Affinity and Appleton. There are two healthcare systems involved in the other programs, so we certainly believe that they can work together, and for the better of their county. We know that it's a proven model. We've been doing this for 10 years. We know it works. We know that we've had the impact on the people. We're finding serious things ahead of time.
How much money are we talking about here? How much does it cost you to run this program in an individual county?
Yeah, as far as what I'm budgeting for Marathon County, we're talking less than $90,000. So we're not talking
about a lot for a year?
Yeah, for here.
To
serve
all of these people?
Absolutely.
$90,000?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
So exactly. So it's, you know, So even if it was $100,000, even if we, you know, less than $100,000, can you imagine the impact you could have on a community? And, we just need the partners to step up and be a part of this program, and we know that we can make a great impact.
How close are you?
We're close. We're in talks, but it's still, it's not close enough. We need them to move on this so that we can get out there and start doing the services and finding the health disparities that are out there. So,
Misty and Eric, you obviously want to see this expand to Marathon County. What kind of influence can individual farmers like you have in helping to make it happen, or is your influence limited?
Well, I think it's just getting out there and talking to people. And the more we talk about it, the more informed we are about it. You know, every time you hear something, you pick up a little different tidbit of information. And we've been trying as best we can.
To spread the word.
Yeah, just to talk casually, like around the kitchen table, when your neighbors come over and you say, hey, we're involved with this. Are you interested in coming to the meetings with us? And, you know, it's just...
Well, yeah. The two of you who have very busy lives obviously feel that this is important because you took time out to show up for this radio show today.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, one big thing being the information, we kind of tapped on this a little bit earlier in the show. A lot of times we're not aware of things that are going on. We do get wrapped up in our own little world for whatever reason, maybe not right, maybe not wrong, but information dissemination is not the same in the rural areas as it is in the towns. You know, if there's a program going down at the YMCA that's going to teach self-defense or something, people are like, hey, let's go, we heard about this. The likelihood of someone outside the perimeter of town, quote unquote, isn't going to know about that. And just even websites to go on and find information about silly little things. I've been having a headache for the last couple months. Is it something I should be concerned about? Is it my diet? Is it whatnot? Just the idea of having somebody come out and visit and just talk casually and saying, hey, you know, I've got this has really been bugging me. What do you think?
Trying to diagnose yourself over the internet isn't always a good idea.
No. You know, and you know, what she's touching on is, you know, when we do sit down at the kitchen table, we're starting with preventative care and we're checking for cholesterol, blood pressure, and glucose. But often, the kitchen table is a place that we often have really intimate conversations, and we feel comfortable talking about finances and mental health and, you know, family issues, and so, you know, we're the starting point as far as saying, you know, we're a trusted person that sits down at the table with them and talks about their health. But often, you know, as we all know, health is holistic, and so as far as, you know, if our financial well-being isn't in place or our mental health well-being isn't in place, if we have a piece of the puzzle a little bit off kilter, it affects our overall health, you know, and our overall wellness. And that's why we call this kitchen wellness, is sitting down and having those discussions and helping them find the resources they need. And so when we go out, and the nurses don't just check their cholesterol, but then they can also say, we can help you find a provider, but we can also help you find other services. And do you know about these other programs or things that are happening in your community that they may not know of? Again, I'm all cleaned up. I work in an office. And I see a lot of people throughout the day. They don't see hardly anyone. So there's that disconnect of not knowing what's available.
1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation around our kitchen table here at Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-780-9742. We're talking about health care for family farms, the Rural Health Initiative. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Is the last of a dying breed, living off the land and taking what he needs. Don't see much for the future when a family can't survive. I'd hate to say the farmer was the last of his kind.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include Stevens Point Area Co-op, Peninsula Music Festival, and Import Auto Clinic. You, too, can help ensure the future of WPR with your business sponsorship. Find out more at wpr.org/sponsor.
Support also comes from Gunderson Health System, offering second opinions to those facing surgery or cancer treatment. Gunderson specialists are dedicated to giving options for making informed decisions. GundersonHealth.org/second opinion.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about rural health care, specifically the Rural Health Initiative on Route 51 this morning with Rhonda Strabel, who is the executive director of that organization. It's operating right now in Shawano, Outagamie, and Wapaka counties, and they are working to get it in Marathon County. Also, two farmers from Marathon County, Eric and Misty Vogel. Eric, do you have any personal stories about situations where maybe you should have gotten checkups or should have gotten routine medical care and you didn't do it, or maybe you know somebody who that happened to?
I guess the easiest story to talk about would probably be your back. You know, as a farmer, we're bending over twice a day milking cows, and you know, sometimes you pull a muscle and you just choose to walk it off and let it go by. And I know a gentleman now that's in his mid-50s who, because he milked cows all the time, he didn't have time to go get health care for it, and now he's constantly going to the chiropractor because he has back issues.
Well, back pain can be just debilitating. I mean, it can keep you from doing anything.
That's
you
right.
know, it can lay up and put you flat on your back if you don't get it taken care of. Misty, how about you? Does anything ring a bell in terms of personal experiences you might have had or conditions where, farm work is dangerous work, isn't it?
Well, yeah, just I suppose our occupational hazard might be a little bit more than others are. There's always things. I mean, you're always getting knocked around. It's just kind of part of the game. And I was smiling before when you were asking Eric that question because stereotypically farmers tend to be a little bit more stubborn. Brace yourselves. I know I can't believe this. We tend to be a little bit more stubborn than perhaps other people are. And granted, there's stubborn people everywhere. But, you know, we get hurt. We brush it off and we keep going. Oh, I'm busy. We got 100 acres of hay down. I can't be doing this. I got to treat a cow. Oh, my gosh, the kids are going to be home from school and whatever. So you put it off.
You told me you don't treat your kids unless it's really serious.
Well, they do. Our kids are going to be pretty tough, and they don't really have a choice for that, you know. But everybody's built differently. And thinks differently, you know, but I mean, there are definitely issues where just physical ailments, if perhaps we'd gotten attention a little bit earlier. I have an ACL that I had reconstructed 15 years ago, and I didn't have insurance. I was in college at the time that I did it, and so I put it off. They told me you'll never be able to run again if you don't take care of this, and I put it off until my mom actually got a what we call a real job off the farm, and we had insurance then. And I regret that every day, not taking care of that, because I will have an issue with my knee the rest of my life.
How often do farmers seek medical care in emergency rooms? Maybe after a small medical problem becomes big due to a lack of attention. And again, that affects the rates hospitals charge and the insurance rates everyone pays.
Mm-hmm. I suppose it would take, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe by the second or third time something happens, maybe that's when we think, well, maybe we should do something about it.
Well, even from my experience, too, is often if it's even cuts or some serious, you know, something that needs stitches or something like that, often, you know, farmers will just ignore that. They'll fix it themselves. They'll tape it up themselves. They'll just, you know, they'll just
Mandy,
really
you're laughing. you have experience.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Is that what you got sewing needles at home for?
If you don't have a bone sticking out and you don't lose a pint of blood, you better suck it up. That's what super glue's for.
Yeah. See, and really, that's again, a cultural difference is, you know, they just don't go in. And sometimes it's fine because they do handle it and it works. But sometimes what if they do something and they're working in an environment that's not sanitary and clean? I mean, granted, their immune system is higher. But what if there is an infection, or what if there is something, or something that they end up hurting at one point, years down the road, it's going to come back and kick them. You know, I mean, we all have any accident or any injury that we've ever had. You can ask anybody that's in their 50s, 60s, or older, will say, you know, they can tell you every ache and pain and why they have it. You know?
Rhonda, I got one more question.
Sure.
In 2012, the Marathon County Board announced a goal to become the healthiest county in Wisconsin. Now, this is a tall aim given the problems in the county with obesity, smoking, and heavy drinking. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a realistic goal? And if it is, how could the Rural Health Initiative help with it?
Well, absolutely. It's a goal, and it's something we're shooting for. Marathon County is, you know, generally one of the healthier counties, surprisingly. And, you know, you can't shoot for it unless you make a bold statement like that. And so working with the farm families, again, they're part of those measurements of getting the whole county healthy. So if we can have our impact on working with that population and others want to work with the more urban populations, that's great. I think any improvements we all make is great.
You want to expand to Marathon County? Any chance we could see the Rural Health Initiative being something that covers the whole state of Wisconsin?
Well, that's a great possibility. We're taking it one county at a time, and Marathon will be the big challenge. If we can show that we can do this in Marathon County with completely starting over, finding the health care systems that will help support this, this will be the test to see if we can do it. This is a big county, and we think we can get it done.
Thank you, Rhonda Strable, the Executive Director of the Rural Health Initiative, and Eric and Misty Vogel, who own a farm in the Marathon County town of Hamburg. To find out more about the Rural Health Initiative, you can check out their website at www.ruralhealth.org.
Just cowboys, truck drivers, and pain. Well, this is my way to say thanks for the meal, and I hope there's no shortage of rain. kiss, mopping a face like a shoe. Thanks from a kid from the city to you. Straw hat and old dirty hankies, mopping a face like a shoe.
I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Neil Young, Woody Guthrie, and Murray McLaughlin. Next week on Route 51, we look at how Menominee Indian culture helped determine the names of our cities, villages, towns, lakes, rivers, streams, and landforms in central Wisconsin as we discuss the Menominee Place Names Map on display now at the UW Stevens Point Museum of Natural History. A reminder, you can hear this show in its entirety Friday night at 7 on 90.9 FM. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.